Got it.
So, Brianna, you feel that change can happen with radicalism. That's what you feel.
That's the only way. There's no other way.
Why is that the only way?
I just don't want
Well,
you.
tell me again. Why? I mean, why? Wait, why do you feel the extreme, going to the extreme side, is the only way? So you're
You
saying
can't win.
giving up? Okay, what you're saying is our ancestors, the sacrifices they made.
Harriet Tubman, was she like, "Hey, Massa, I'm getting them together, guys, okay? And I'm gonna take the rest of the slaves away." No, she freaking was radical with it, and she went all in. She went full opposition.
History shows that you have to go opposite in order to get change.
That's what history
Look
literally proves.
at the British. Look at when the US fought the British, you know, the settlers, and
Consistently, even in recent history, we see you will not win playing the system ever. Because, like I said, you cannot dismantle the master's house with the master's tools. Period. No exceptions.
even the Bible.
Voting is not an exception.
Even the Bible shows it.
All history, all stories show. Fiction books show. You have to be radical. And this voting, oh, well, we're going to vote for Biden, is not a fucking radical thought. It's bullshit.
This is within the system.
And all these senators and all these people, oh, just no, that's not where shit's happening.
But
The celebrities with money are doing what they got to do. Because they're out there having the conversations that do make a difference. The conversations that us middle class, lower class people don't have access to.
right.
But us, we down here that have access to each other, these grassroots, voting is not the answer. We're not in those conversations, in those rooms.
Wow. I'm sitting here because I got to be honest with you, I'm coming from a culture of where my parents came to this country in the 70s. And so they were at the very beginning of when change was really starting to be implemented and happen. So for me to say, I'm going to vote, but I'm just not going to vote for somebody who's running, or I'm just not going to vote at all, is so going the other way for me. It's so what I'm not used to, so not what I was taught. It's so not what I was
Exactly.
learned.
What you were taught and what you were learned. These are things we need to ask ourselves. What are you being taught? What are you learning? When you learn about Black history, who do you learn about? And how do they frame it? They don't say, "Hey, Rosa Parks sat in the front of the bus," which means she took a position of direct opposition to what she was told. They don't tell you that. They tell you what she did was peaceful. And they reframe it in this way that makes it seem like, okay, so. Well, peaceful protest works. And they talk about MLK. Well, peaceful protest works. They don't tell you the full story. They give you a piece of the truth. And then they frame it in the way that they want you to behave, the way in which they want you to think. But if you had the full story about Rosa Parks, it wasn't what she did wasn't even the first time she did that. And she actually wasn't the first woman who did that. She was the first light-skinned woman who did that. And so even that played a role in the politics.
That I know and that I agree with. Even the color barriers that we had to do with light-skinned blacks and dark-skinned blacks.
So there's so much more nuance to this, but they just try and piece work within the system.
A system that continues to fail us as
No.
a community, as black people.
Like, I don't understand what's like, why are we so brainwashed to think that voting really makes a difference?
Why is it that Black Lives Matter did not put someone on their shoulders to be a candidate in the election?
Because I think they also take the position of like,
They're in the system.
perhaps, how does that matter? I mean, I don't know fully, so I'm not going to speak for them, but that's my assumption.
Okay,
Because
President,
they have the support.
right, they have the support now. What are they doing with it? Are they pushing a candidate forward for the House,
No,
for the
they're not.
Senate,
No.
for the governorship,
They're not.
for mayor leadership?
No,
Are any of these
they're.
people pushing that position? Absolutely not.
They do more of like the local work.
Yep.
Right, but they have to. It's like a union. A union says, we want to vote for this candidate and we're going to get all our people to throw our votes behind because this person is going to get us this type of legislation or they're going to be voting for us in this manner. Mm-hmm. And.
Yeah, but then you have. Then they run into the issue of like, that's not their purpose. Their purpose is the statement Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. And then once they go into that, they're going to be a political group.
There you go.
And the idea is that Black Lives Matter shouldn't be politicized.
That's right.
Because Black Lives Matter, period. Mm-hmm. As soon as they do that move, they're domestic terrorists and they're a political group. Mm-hmm. That's just my opinion. As soon as they make that move, that's how they can easily be labeled in the media. And mm-hmm. that's going to take away all their credibility.
And their funding. And their funding, which matters.
We don't know who they get funding for because they don't 100% publicize it.
But we know some of their funders.
But they do get millions of dollars, and I'm sure they're not all from the same party. So mm-hmm. as soon as they do that and they take a stance on that side, mm-hmm. their movement crumbles.
So at the end of the day, we go back to this whole voting thing. Where do we really stand? Because you can't say you stand with your people, but you're taking funding from this person, that person, and they still have you by your balls, and you can't really be who you are, and you can't vote the way you want to vote.
What do you mean?
What I'm saying is, Brianna, if you have, you're taking funding from certain billionaires, right? Or whoever, and you can't take a stance on how you really feel in a political manner.
The difference between them as individuals taking a stance and the movement taking a stance.
But why couldn't the movement just take a stance?
Why should it have to? That's the issue. Why should anyone have to be political in that manner? Why? There's some in the fridge. There's half in the fridge. That's good.
Well. All right, so you feel they shouldn't have to take a stance. It should be separate.
I'm saying like it could be either or, but I'm saying there should be no pressure for them to take a stance.
Okay.
Because I do think as soon as they do, there's going to be other obstacles that they're going to have to make their way through. Mm-hmm.
Damn, I just feel like.
I think.
Sorry. Go ahead, B. What were you saying? Go ahead. I'm waiting for you to say what you got to say.
I think, I understand what you're saying about the, becoming a politicized group and stuff like that. But I still, like, the candidates now, they have politicized the movement and they're, I guess, indicating that they support it so they can get the vote. But at the same time, I'm wondering how come a candidate of color has not emerged to, I guess, capitalize to say, this is what my platform is and this is where I'm moving with it.
Because... Well, number one, I don't see that person even getting the votes. Like I said, if every single black person in America voted, it would still only be 13%.
So great.
So that person steps forward as the Black Lives Matter vote. Mm-hmm. Let's say we get it bumped up to 20% mm-hmm. because of allies. Mm-hmm. Great. There's 80% to play with.
Right.
So like... Like I said, I think my assumption is that politicizing themselves in that way mm-hmm. for a party would mm-hmm. do more harm than good at the end of the day.
Interesting.
Because then you have to understand that some of the Black Lives Matter movement, some of the people who are a part of that movement are radical and they're not going to vote.
Right.
Then you have some who... are not radical and they're going to vote for Biden. Mm-hmm. And then you have some who are going to do whatever else and vote for whoever else. Mm-hmm. So.
It's your leg up already?
Well, listen, family talking about politics and where we are as, I guess, as a nation and where we are as a people. I still do think, you know, 2020, this is a big election year. That's just my opinion on it. And I do think we will be affected the most at the end of the day, Brianna. That's how I feel. I feel the lower class, the middle class, the minorities, the blacks, will feel it the most when it's all said and done.
Okay.
Well, it's up to people what they want to do. It's up to them if they want to vote or not vote. It is your right to vote for someone that's on the ballot or vote for someone that's not on the ballot. That's your right. You have that right. I just would hope that people will exercise that right, because once again, there were sacrifices made for black people to vote. There were sacrifices made for women, all women, to vote. And
you know what? This is how I feel. I am appreciative that people sacrificed for that right. But the fact that they were tricked into believing that that was a right in the first place is what pisses me off.
Right.
Like, why is me writing my name or checking some box a right? But why is me getting married a right? Why are all these things rights that people who might have represented me or not had to fight for? And why were they tricked into believing that that bullshit was a right?
But the fact that, Brianna, that you can even voice that out loud and say how you feel... Honestly, you were in a different time from me. I was in a different time from her. It's very telling. They did not have that. They were not in that type of world at that time. How you feel, you're able to feel and think freely. It was not like that back then. People had to pick and choose what they say, how they said it, and which side they were saying it on. You're in 2020 where you're able to really speak freely, think freely, and be who you are. Could you imagine back then that you had to fight for everything, even to just speak, to get on a damn bus, to get on a train, to drink from a water fountain? But
like you said, people sacrificed for me to be able to say and think what I'm thinking. Absolutely,
and you should.
Therefore, yes. I should exercise these thoughts. And I should voice exactly what I'm thinking.
Absolutely.
Because, like I said, what really saddens me is that people are martyrs or dedicated their livelihoods mm-hmm. to bullshit, mm-hmm. to a fake right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is voting a right?
Why is voting a right?
Why is that a right?
I mean, that's the next podcast. Why is voting a right? That is a good question, Bree. Why is voting a right?
So, I want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. So, for women.
For women.
Mm-hmm. Where the country's about 50-50, right?
50-50? No, it's like closer to 60-40.
Women more than men, right?
Yeah.
Why women hasn't taken...
The highest percentage of voters that voted for Trump were white women.
White women.
That's why.
And I could tell you why. I wonder what role
that percentage right there should tell you everything you want to know. Mm-hmm. Because like I said, black people specifically only take up 13% of the country. Right? So white women are the highest percentage of people that voted for Trump.
And tell me why. I mean, you wouldn't know that, but I'm just curious on why did they vote for Trump. When this man has spoken so vulgar and so horribly about women.
Some people are also colonized.
Mm, absolutely.
Some people's thoughts are... Like, people don't understand that in terms of thought process, black people can be prejudiced against black people.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay? Gay people can be prejudiced against gay people. Women can be prejudiced against women. Yes. Because it's a thought process.
Yes.
Okay? It's not like a genetic thing. Mm-hmm. It's literally a thought process that is ingrained in people as kids due to their environment.
Right.
So this idea that oh, well, my black friend said, or my gay friend said, or my female friend said, that doesn't actually mean shit, because they could have the same fucked up thought process as you, yeah, or as Trump, or as whoever.
Yeah.
They, because it's a thought process.
And thought process comes with, like you said, environment. And I think people do not take into consideration where people are growing up, how people are growing up, the areas that they live in. All those things matter. All those things plays a part on actually how people make decisions as adults, because they are referring back and they're looking back to what their childhood was like. How did they grow up? Where were they when these things were happening in their life? And how are those things still affecting them today as adults? It's interesting. I mean, I'm glad we're having this conversation as a family on how the voting thing works, and if should people vote, and why people should vote, or why they shouldn't, or does our vote even matters? I mean, stay tuned.
She is hard. Her voice screams callous and her touch raw. You think she doesn't care, but she does, and she always has. You mistook her tenacity for bitch. She is quick. She can time travel like you've never seen before. You saw her tomorrow and didn't realize because you were stuck in yesterday. You mistook her forward thinking for Detro. She is quiet. Her silence scares you because it makes you unsure of yourself. She compels you to swallow and taste your vices. You mistook her composure for judgment. She is vital. Her urgency in this room is undeniable. Your rejection of it only ensures that her visit maintains. You mistook her necessity for oppression. She is unseen. If you had to guess, she would be everywhere and nowhere. Her body is not contained to the visible realm. You mistook her presence for absence. She is radical. Her mind is bottomless, but not like oceans. Bottomless like Black history and Panther bullets. You mistook her revolutionary for hostility. She is secure. Her ego suffocates your inner zealous. You wonder who could be that home. You mistook her confidence for hubris. She is sweet. She is diligent. She is imperfect. She is voice. She is ready. She is now and then. If you asked her why she is always misunderstood, why she is a giver even when we are takers, she would tell you it is because she is a leader.
Thank you for joining another episode of Our Mirrors Reflections with Andrea Jackson. This week I want to dedicate this podcast show to voting and how important it is to vote. You know, when we think about the Civil War, when we think about the 13th Amendment to the Constitution, I mean, in the immediate aftermath of the Civil War, the United States found itself in uncharted territory with the Confederacy defeat. Some 4 million enslaved Black women and men and children had been granted their freedom, and the emancipation that would be formalized with the passage of the 13th Amendment. You know, for Black Americans, gaining the full rights of citizenship, and especially the right to vote, was central to securing true freedom and self-determination. When I think about this, and when I think about voting, how could you not vote? How could you take something that was, you know, granted, and I use that word granted to us, in such a late time, you know, in our country. So you think about all the women that were not able to vote, and then Black people were not able to vote. And to think in 2020, you feel that your vote doesn't matter when your vote does matter. And we always think about it's just the presidency vote that we need to be concerned about, but that's not true. You know, you have the executive, which is the president, about 5,000 workers. You got the legislative, which is the Senate and the House of Representatives. And then you have the judicial, the Supreme Court, and the lower courts. We need to be voting
in all these three parts of government. It is so important. And I don't like what I'm hearing, you know, that our vote doesn't matter, because it does. And are we voting with those three branches where it matters? You know, it's like we think about the presidency and that's it. You know, there are other, you know, House representatives that we are putting into office by not voting. We are putting them into office. Listen to what I just said. We are putting them into office by not voting. The laws that are being passed in the Supreme Court and the lower courts, they matter. They affect us. We have to get out there and we have to vote. It is imperative now more than ever, because I don't think people have realized, even with 9/11 happening, how many of our rights were taken away without us even knowing about it. Now we're looking at the IDs that they're putting into place, the driver's license. We saw what they did with the passports. We have to pay attention to what's going on. If you think your vote does not matter, you don't know your history and you don't know what our forefathers had to go through to make this happen for all Black people. Why is it important to vote? I could give you five reasons. You know, elections have consequences. Okay, you have the power to decide the quality of life you want for yourself and for future generations, for your children. Voting is a chance for us to stand up and take a stance on what your issues are, what you care about, whether it's, you know, raising minimum wage, whether it's public transportation, which is a huge issue, I believe, in my state in New York and where I live, you know, funding local schools. I went to public school all my life, and what I see in public schools today compared to when I was going, it's horrible. We're doing these children a disservice. It's our life. It's our kids' life. It matters. Not voting is giving up your voice. That is what you're doing. Elections are decided by the people who go out and vote. Take some time and learn about the measures and the candidates. It's up to you. Yes, we can listen to the radio. Yes, we can listen to the journalists, but it's a personal choice who you vote for. It's your power. It's your vote. The third thing is your money, tax time. Right? You pay taxes, I pay taxes, but you don't know that money it was being used for. Most people don't. Voting is your chance to choose how your tax dollars are spent, such as funding for healthcare and social services, which no one thinks about. But think about what's happening with COVID-19 now. People who are left at home to go to work and raise their children and homeschool their children. You know, where are the funding for these services now? Voting is an opportunity for change to be made. Do you want to make a positive impact or not? Voting gives you the chance. Support the candidates in the ballot that measures that can help your community, your state, your nation be great. It's really important in 2020 that everyone who can vote go out there and vote. Let your voice be heard. I live in Harlem. What I see my community going through, what I see people are struggling, people losing their homes, people losing their apartments, they can't afford the rent. It's a lot. Our children, they don't have the basics. The basics. And you think that you can't make change. And I'm telling you, the change is made with our vote. It's mandatory that we get out there in the states that we live in and we go out there and vote. Our ancestors literally risked their lives and died for us to have this opportunity. And for some of us to take it so lightly, it's a slap in their face. They would be turning in their graves today to see that many of us are giving up hope. And by you not voting, that is exactly what you are doing. I was reading in the Detroit News. I like to go online and just look at these different websites and news articles, the Times, the Post, the Daily News. But even outside of New York City, I like to look at other states. And it's an article that says, how dare We Not Vote, Black Voters Organize After DC March. Tears streamed down Brooke Moreland's face as she watched tens of thousands gather on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial to decry systematic racism and demand racial justice in the wake of several police killings of Black Americans. But for Indianapolis, mother of three, the fiery speeches delivered Friday at the commemoration of the 1963 March of Washington for Jobs and Freedom also gave way to one central message: vote and demand change at the ballot box in November. As Black people, a lot of people who look like us died for us to be able to sit in public, to vote, to go to school, and to be able to walk around freely and live our lives, the 31-year-old Moreland said. Every election is an opportunity, so how dare we not vote after our ancestors fought for us to be here? That determination that could prove critical in a presidential election where race is emerging as a flashpoint. President Donald Trump at this past week's Republican National Convention emphasized a law and order message aimed at his largely white base of supporters. His Democratic rival, Joe Biden, has expressed empathy with Black victims of police brutality, is counting on strong turnout from African Americans to win the critical states such as North Carolina, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Michigan. As the campaign enters its latter stages, there is an intensifying effort among African Americans to transform frustration over police brutality, systematic racism, and its disproportionate toll of the coronavirus into political power. Organizers and participants said Friday's march delivered a much-needed rallying cry to mobilize. I just have to tell you, you have to go to the Detroit News and you need to read this article. And this article was printed and published 5:22 p.m. August 29, 2020. You need to do your research. You need to read. I cannot emphasize how important it is to know why it's important to vote and exactly what you will be gaining when you do vote. What will your community be gaining? What will your children be gaining? These things matter. And to just sit there on our behinds when people sacrifice themselves to get this opportunity for us to vote. Come on. Come on. It is our voice. Every vote counts. It matters. I usually don't talk about politics on my podcast, but now more than ever, I'm dedicating this show to telling our young people out there, 18 and older, get up, go out, and vote. Do not let this election come and you are sitting in your homes talking, complaining, whining, crying, and not doing. And how do you do? By voting. Black people, we spend the most. And then we endure the most. We have to be the change that we want to see. And it's in the numbers at the poll.
I know for our community, what we're going to need, especially during this whole COVID pandemic, is we're going to need jobs. Our people are going to need jobs. We're going to need health care. This economy is going to need to be boosted. The roads in New York are horrible, just horrible, horrible. And we pay way too many taxes to be having these types of issues. Our education system is failing our children. We shouldn't have to force and send our kids to private school and pay these astronomical amounts of tuition when we have public schools that our kids go to. But if they're not good and there's 50 kids in a class and one teacher, there's so many things that has to be changed for our people. But we need to go out there and vote. We have to demand and make our demands and hold them accountable for who we vote for. It makes no sense of complaining if we're not holding our officials accountable. We have to hold them accountable. We have to go out in our communities and see what our communities is lacking. Who are our leaders? Who's leading us? Who's representing us and our needs and what our children needs and what our community needs?
who's fighting for us. But we cannot sit home in 2020 and not go out there and vote. We can't. It doesn't matter if Bernie Sanders dropped out. It's who's in now, who's running now, and who could we choose from the greater evils, as I would say. You got to choose somebody. You cannot not just vote. And those people that we choose, we have to hold them accountable. So if election time is coming around again and they did not do what they said they were going to do, then it's our business to go and vote and get them out. Let's hold them accountable. African American people, Black people, brown people, light brown people, whatever you identify yourself with, it matters. In Atlanta and Georgia and Florida and all these states, we got to get out there and we have to vote. We have the numbers. We can make change, but we have to do our part. There's way too many of our men and women incarcerated. Where is the rehabilitation for them? And some of them are incarcerated for, little charges. Sitting in there, wasting your life away. We have to invest back in our communities. We have to invest in where we live. I'm getting older, and when I look at the future generation, we have to invest in your education. That is their way out. That is their ticket, their knowledge. And if we're not giving back to the public schools, I don't see how that's even possible. I really don't. We have to teach our children, let's get past the culture as far as what's in, as far as clothing, the type of car you're driving. Let's teach our kids how to invest, how to hold on to cash. Their vote matters. Knowing politics, knowing the roles of the mayor, of the governor, of the president, of the speaker of the house. They have to know this, and it's for us to teach them. We have so much knowledge out there. We have so much books to read. Reading, as we were always taught, is fundamental. Our children need the basics of knowing how to research and find information on their own. Not someone giving it to them. Them wanting to find it on their own. It's our responsibility to teach our children from young how important it is to vote, what our ancestors have gone through for us to have this right, what our ancestors have gone through to have the right for women to vote. We can't take this thing so lightly. We have the freedom to play our music loud. We have the freedom to eat where we want. We have the freedom to walk where we want. But if we don't make change in 2020, we will be surprised at how much other things we can lose. I would hate for the Malcolm X's, the Martin Luther King's, all these men and women who fought for us to see their work being slowly erased. We've got to pay attention to what's going on because there's something bigger going on. It's not always what looks obvious. It's what doesn't look obvious. We have the power to show our youth something different. We have the power to come out there in droves. Because one thing I know about Black people, boy, when we get together, we are powerful. And we are more powerful as one than as individuals. And we have to start moving in that way, thinking as one people. Some of us are African, some of us are Caribbean, some of us are from the South, some of us are American. It doesn't matter. You know the common denominator that we all have? We're all Black. We're all Black and brown people. And we can make the difference. We can make the change. You know, when I read this, I was reading this article, African American voters could turn tides in 2020 presidential election. From Georgia to Florida, the African-American vote has a lot of power this year, especially in the race to the White House. Education, better roads, housing, healthcare, the economy, jobs, the power of Black vote and what issues matter the most to the African-American community is more consequential than ever in 2020. When it comes to taking on issues that impact African-American communities, some of the big conversations often happen in places like Fade Barbershop in Tallahassee. For African-Americans, barbershops are a place to bond while discussing social issues. It's a place where our owner, Marlon Williams, and his clients were talking about what's the most important to them. We need to make sure we can put Black people to work and keep them employed, said Williams. So the more jobs we can have will definitely help the Black community. The 7% drop in the largest for Black voters from one presidential election to the next, if turnout increases, African-American voters have a lot of weight this year, especially in the state like Florida. Florida is a swing state. It doesn't take much of a change anywhere to affect what happens in Florida, said Mark Early, the Leon County Supervisor of Elections, and that can have national implications. Right now in Leon County, there are 62,000 registered Black voters, which makes up 28% of voters in that county. The question remains, after a year of decline, will Black voters show up this time around? Will we? Will we show up this time around? We showed up for former President Obama, but will we show up for this election? Remember, it is our children's future on the line. It's our retirement on the line, Social Security. When you think about these things, it's scary. So I don't know how some of you are sitting there and not voting. I don't get it. I will not understand it. But I am begging you to get out there. Let your voice be heard. Go out there and wait on the line as long as it's going to take. Because what we do in 2020 is going to set us up for the next 4 years. And God knows, it cannot be like how it was this year. The suicide rate is up. Homelessness rate is up. You know, unemployment, oh my God, is in overdrive. We have to make a difference this year. Talk is cheap. We have to do. We have to demand. And every chance and opportunity we get to remind people to go out there and make sure that they vote, make sure that they are registered to vote. That's the first and foremost thing that you need to go and do. Make sure that you are registered to vote so that your vote counts. Number one, go and register.